Good morning, church family, and welcome to you and to those who are joining us in the live stream. How good it is to be together, to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, and to sit under the sound of His Word. Our theme this morning is the pattern of God's grace, and that we have seen exemplified and illustrated in the Bible reading from Acts chapter 9, in the remarkable conversion story of Saul of Tarsus, who became Paul the Apostle, the greatest theologian of all time. An amazing story of the pattern of God's grace at work. And of course, we couldn't have had a better hymn than the one we've just sung to illustrate the pattern of God's amazing grace at work in our lives. So that's our theme this morning. And I want to share with you, by way of introduction, the Henry Blackaby story. Some of you may be familiar with the story of Dr. Henry Blackaby, but if you're not familiar with it, I'd like to share it in brief with you. Henry Blackaby was a Southern Baptist pastor, pastoring a church in California, what in sort of worldly terms one would call a very successful church. And the call of God came to Henry concerning the state of some of the churches in Canada. And the result of that was Henry obeyed the call of God, made major adjustments in his life and the life of his family, and moved to Canada to go to a small church that was about to be closed down. It was one of several churches in Canada that weren't doing well at all and that were considering actually shutting down. And into that situation, God called Henry. And for the next 12 to 14 years, I believe it was, he obediently and in faith listened to God and moved with God as he joined God in what God was doing and wanted to do in Canada. And the result of that was that not only was the church that he went to restored, renewed, and revived, but several other churches were planted over the course of years. And by the time he left, there was also a thriving Bible college where one of his sons was then appointed principal. At the end of that period, a spiritual awakening in Canada caused the leadership of the Southern Baptist Convention in the United States in their missions department to call Henry to come and to take up an office in the missions department of the Southern Baptist Convention with this command, this enjoinder: Henry, we want you to teach 15 million Southern Baptists how to be on mission with God every day. And so Henry obeyed that call, and out of that situation, there were several publications that came out, but one of the most well-known was the course entitled Experiencing God, Knowing and Doing the Will of God. And into that study book, and we had in our church over the mountain where I was pastoring at the time, over 500 members go through that 12-week course in 50 different groups. It was a life-changing experience. We had the joy of having Henry with us on one or two occasions, and I can tell you, every time that man preached the word, when he left, we knew that a man of God had been in our midst. So Henry forged out what he began to classify as the seven realities of knowing and experiencing God and doing His will. These were forged out in the years spent in Canada as simply listening to God and obeying what God was saying and trusting God. the Lord moved in the restoration, revival, and renewal of several churches and worked wonderfully in Canada. And so I want to share now those realities with you because they're essential to understanding the grace of God at work in the believer's life and in the life of the church. And here's the first one. Number one, God is always at work around you. Now, I'm sure you know that, but it's worth stressing the fact. God is always at work around you. God has always been at work. God will always be at work. There has never been an occasion since God created man that God has not been at work. Jesus put it so well, John 5 verse 17, when he said to his disciples, "My Father is always at his work to this very day, and I too am working." My Father is at work to this very day. He has always been at work, and I too am working. At this very moment, God is at work all around you, as well as in your life. One of the greatest tragedies among God's people is that although they deeply long to experience God, He's at work all around them day after day, but so often they do not even realize it because they're not really tuned into God and to what God is doing. But reality number one, God is always at work around you. Even when, like Saul of Tarsus, you're actually working against him. Reality number two, God pursues a continuing love relationship with you that is real and personal. He's been doing it all the time. He's been doing it since the moment you were born. God himself pursues a love relationship with you. He takes the initiative to bring you into this relationship. It's all about relationship. He created you for fellowship with himself. This is the purpose of your life. This love relationship with the Lord should be real and personal. That's what God desires for each and every person in the world. The third reality is God invites you to become involved with him in his work. He's at work all around you. He pursues a continuing love relationship with you that is real and personal, so that in this relationship with him, you can join him in what he is doing. The Bible reveals that God has always been at work in the world. He has never been absent from it or indifferent to what was taking place in history. When we read the Bible, we're reading God's redemptive activity in our world. We see that he chooses to take the initiative and to involve his people in his work. He determines to work through people to accomplish his purposes. Whether it's Abraham, or whether it's Moses, or whether it's Jacob, or whether it's Samuel, or whether it's Saul of Tarsus, or whether it's you or me. God pursues a love relationship with us so that in that relationship, we can join him in what he is doing. And then fourthly, God speaks. Praise the Lord, he is a God who speaks. God speaks by the Holy Spirit through the Bible, primarily, but he speaks also through our prayer communion with him and with one another. Sometimes he speaks through our circumstances, and he speaks often through the church. And when he speaks, it's always to reveal himself, and it's to reveal his purposes, and it's to reveal his ways. Now, one of the best ways of seeing that is looking at the songs that the church sings, from the ancient hymns to the modern ones. Every hymn that is worth its salt is a demonstration of a personal encounter with God. Someone's been listening to God. And the result is that God has revealed himself, God has revealed His purposes. God has revealed His ways. And whatever hymn you're singing, whether it's Trust and Obey, or whether it's Amazing Grace, or whatever it is, you look at that hymn and you'll see what's happened there. It's been a divine encounter. Somebody's been listening to the Holy Spirit of God and has been able to put that, what God Himself has revealed and is saying or wants to do, into the verses of that particular song or hymn. God speaks to us, a critical requirement for understanding and experiencing God and knowing the pattern of His grace is to be always aware to the voice of the Spirit of God. To know when God is speaking. Friend, if we do not hear and respond to what God is saying, we're in trouble at the heart of our Christian life. And then reality number five is God's invitation for you to work with Him always leads you to a crisis of belief that requires faith and action. When God invites you to join Him in His work, He has a God-sized assignment for you. It may not look dramatic or large, but you see, God often works through little people and little things and accomplishes great things. And so God's invitation for you to work with Him always leads you to a crisis of belief that requires faith and action. When God invites you to join Him in His work, He has a God-sized assignment for you. You'll quickly recognize you cannot do what He's asking you to do on your own. Now, I'm sure that as you look back on your life, if you have followed Jesus for years, you will be able to look back and see these kind of spiritual markers where God led you into a kind of crisis of faith, and the result had to be that you put your faith into action. It's so easy for us, Elaine and I, to trace that in our lives because of the call of God and the ways in which God has led us and the different crises that He has led us into that have been life-changing, when God has had an assignment for us that only He can accomplish. And so, God, if He doesn't help you, you will fail in what He wants to do, because He's the one who does it. It's just that He does it through you. He doesn't ask for your ability. He asks for your availability. And when you give that to Him, He does amazing things through you. Amen. That crisis of belief can occur at different stages in your spiritual journey. But when it happens, when you realize God is speaking, He's revealing something new, He's asking something new of you, it's a kind of crisis of faith that must lead to action. And so number six, you must make major adjustments. Some of them may not seem major, sometimes they are. Make major adjustments in your life to join God in what He is doing. When God called us here, it was at the invitation of a handful of faithful brothers and sisters in Christ. And we said, under John Thomas's orders almost, go along and help for a couple of months with the fellowship. Well, here we are, rejoicing in our 15th year with this fellowship here in Fishhook. But it was exactly what is happening here. There was this kind of crisis of belief. God, do you want to, what are you going to do? And well, He's been doing it for 15 years. Praise the Lord. You have to make major adjustments in your life to join God in what He is wanting to do. So when God speaks to you to reveal what He's about to do, that revelation is your invitation to adjust your life to Him. Did you get that? When God speaks to you about something specific, that's His invitation for you to adjust your life to what He is wanting to do. Your faith will be most clearly demonstrated by your actions. Actions will take you into the adjustments that you have to make to be in a position to obey the Lord. This whole process of the pattern of God's grace is to continually get you to the place, or from time to time get you back to the place where God has placed you in a position where through your obedience to Him, you will experience Him in new ways and see what He only can do. Once you've adjusted your life to the Lord, you act in obedience, then God accomplishes through you what he has purposed to do. Adjustments prepare you for obedience. You cannot continue life as usual or stay where you are spiritually and go with God all the time. God is always on the move. Amen. God is always at work. And we have that example in the life of every single missionary that we pray for and support. I do want to encourage you, if you're not already doing it, that you follow our example in your morning quiet time. Elaine and I have about half a dozen devotionals. You don't have to do that, that we read through. And then we have prayer time together. But we begin our prayer time with our missions information booklet. And we pray specifically for the missionaries and for the things that they're asking prayer for, so that we are interceding and covering in prayer what they're doing. But you can't help when you look at the booklet and you see what God is doing. When you see what God is doing through the Message Trust, amen, and through Tim and Christina and through the Message Trust Ministries, you see these principles of the pattern of God's work, how God was pursuing a love relationship with Tim, and how when crisis came and there were different things in his life, and then he and Christina committed themselves wholeheartedly to continue in the work of the Message Trust. And you see how God has grown this work from here to across the borders and now right into Ethiopia and further afield. God is at work. You look at Africa for Christ and you see how this pattern of God's grace was at work in the life of Jeremy and Marlene Sieberhagen, and how when they committed themselves to take over leadership from Terry Ray with Africa for Christ, you see how this process of the pattern of God's grace is working out time and time again. God is always at work. He pursues a love relationship with you to draw you into that relationship, where you can hear his voice, where you can respond to his voice, and where you can see God moving, as God is moving now through Africa for Christ Ministries and the 40 church planters that are out there, and new ones being trained every year, and new countries being reached. The pattern of God's grace at work in the lives of people and missions. And so, number 7, you come to know God by experience as you obey him and he accomplishes his work through you. You come to know God by experience as you obey him and he accomplishes his work through you. Obedience is crucial. As the Apostle Peter says, God gives the Holy Spirit to those who obey him. Jesus said to his disciples before his ascension, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses from where you stay to the ends of the earth. Get on with the job of obedience, and you'll have all of the Holy Spirit's anointing, grace, and power that you need for God to do what God has in mind. After God has taken the initiative to involve you in his work, you believe him, you adjust your life to him. Only then do you reach a place of obedience. You must obey him first. Then he accomplishes his work through you. And when God does what only he can do through your life, you come to know him intimately by experience. As you obey, the relationship grows, and as you obey, the fruit now begins to show. We see this clearly then, once again, as we wrap this up this morning, and then perhaps next Sunday we look at the case of Simon Peter and see the pattern of God's grace in his life, so that we can all fully get the message and rejoice in the pattern of God's grace at work in our lives day by day. Saul of Tarsus, as we saw in our Bible reading, so beautifully read to us by Rose a little earlier, we saw from that reading, God was at work all around Saul of Tarsus. The only thing is that Saul was so focused on what he thought he was doing for God, he actually missed what God was doing all around him in the birth of the church. In fact, Saul ended up working against God. Did you know some of the most religious people in the world are working against God? But we have this dramatic story of Saul's conversion to Christ. All along, God had been at work, bringing to fruition his plan of world redemption through Jesus, his son. The whole of the Old Testament pointed to it. Now Jesus had come, been crucified, buried, raised the third day, ascended to heaven. The Holy Spirit of promise had been given to the disciples, and God was at work in Jerusalem. 3,000 people on the day of Pentecost, nearly all Jews, repented of their sins, placed their trust in Yeshua, the Lord Jesus, as their Messiah, were baptized on profession of their faith. The church began, and it began in earnest, as God worked out the pattern of his grace in people's lives. But Saul of Tarsus was blinded to the reality and the truth of what was actually happening, until God, in pursuing a love relationship with him, arrested him on the Damascus Road, and he was blinded, and for 3 days underwent a time of repentance and of revolution in his life. And then he began to listen to God. 3 years in the Arabian desert, the University of Jesus Christ. And then 10 or 12 years back in Tarsus. It was something like 14 years, some scholars say 17, that Saul of Tarsus learned how to listen to God. And then he was ready to make whatever adjustments were necessary to join God in what God was doing. And we see these realities being worked out in his life. God's revelation of himself became the invitation for Saul of Tarsus to join him in his work. God spoke to Saul and prepared him for what lay ahead. God's invitation led to a crisis of belief in Saul's life that required faith and action. But he committed himself to that, made the adjustments, and began to obey God, put his faith into action, and began to proclaim the good news about Jesus, and learned to adjust his life from time to time to what God was saying. Remember the time when they were wanting to go to Bithynia and to what was then called Asia Minor, and the Holy Spirit forbade them? They were listening. Saul had learned to listen. And then came the vision of the man from Macedonia saying, "Come over and help us." And so Paul and his companions crossed over to Philippi. The gospel went to Europe, and the rest is history. The pattern of God's amazing grace at work. Let's look at these again, each one, as we just refresh our memories and apply these to your own life and see if there's something here that maybe you're missing out on and that you need to get a hold of today. Realize that God is always at work around you. Amen. Realize that God is pursuing a continuing love relationship with you that is real and personal. Realize that God is constantly inviting you to become involved with him in his work. For some of us at our old age, that may be a ministry of intercession primarily. Well, don't be discouraged. That's the most powerful ministry on earth, is the ministry of intercession. For some, it may be hospitality or helps or whatever, administration. But join God in what he is doing. He invites you to become involved with him in his work. Fourthly, God speaks by the Holy Spirit through the Bible, prayer, circumstances, and the church to reveal himself, his purposes, and his ways. Again, I challenge you, go through your hymn book and have a look. Read biographies of missionaries or ministers or those whom God has used, and you'll find the pattern of God's grace at work in every single situation in this way. Number five, God's invitation for you to work with him always leads you to a crisis of belief that requires faith and action. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And then six, you must make major adjustments sometimes in your life to join God in what he is doing. And then you come to know God by experience as you obey him, and he accomplishes his work through you. Now, I think that probably 99% of this congregation can easily identify with every single one of these realities. And I trust it's just been a confirmation of God's amazing love for you and his purpose for each one of you in his kingdom work. To his name be all the glory. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank you for the way in which you work in your servants' lives and have done so all through the ages. And we thank you for these realities, these truths, these specific points that we can identify with in the pattern of your grace at work in our lives and in the life of your church. And this morning we just want to recommit ourselves to a relationship with you, Lord Jesus, in which you are in full control, in which we are sensitive to the Holy Spirit's voice as you speak to us through your word day by day, as you speak to us through our times of communion with you and with each other, as you speak to us through our circumstances, in whatever way you choose. But we thank you that you've given us your word, where every scripture is inspired and profitable. And so we pray that you would keep us in that place where we are abiding in Christ, and Christ is abiding in us in such a way that there is much fruit for your glory. Thank you that you are still the God who does impossible things in us and through us as we trust and obey. Lead us on then in the path of your will. We want to praise you today for our brothers here from the Central Church in Harare. Praise you for the way in which you have blessed that church family through the years, and that they look forward soon to celebrating a centenary of celebrating the pattern of God's grace in the life of that church family. And we pray, Father, for the body of Christ in South Africa, in Zimbabwe, all through Africa and around the world in these critical days in which we're living. We pray that you would raise up your people to be salt and light all over the world, and grant that the name of Jesus will be lifted high, that the gospel of Jesus will be proclaimed to the nations, that you will thrust out laborers into your harvest field all over the world. And we pray that millions and millions of believers in Jesus will be rejoicing in and experiencing the pattern of your amazing grace in their work and in their life day by day. Receive our thanks, dear Lord, for all that you are doing and for all that you are yet going to do. We praise you in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.